Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. It would be impossible to present in one lesson, certainly in the brevity of the lessons that we're featuring in these lessons, a very exhaustive study of so vast a subject as the Bible. But the source of all we know of God and His will for mankind is found in the teaching of the Bible. It reveals the basis of our faith and of our hope and the meaning of life. It is important that we study the Bible itself, but there are times when we need to study about the Bible also. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 are two very significant verses that read, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Friend, this passage contains what Scripture claims for itself, namely to be inspired, God-breathed, infallible, inerrant, authoritative, and the all-sufficient Word of God. Now, whether people realize it or not, the most important question before responsible human beings is, what must I do to be saved? The Bible provides the answer. The very question implies that man is lost in sin and separated from God, and a life in heaven is not his. He cannot save himself. He stands in need of a Savior, and there is something that he must do to take advantage of the salvation that's offered to him by God through Jesus Christ. Man, in his weakness and sinfulness, aspires to something better and longs for the satisfaction of the yearnings of the soul, even though he is not yet always aware of it. To live in sin is not the desirable state for mankind. To consider salvation involves the capacity of man to take hold of a higher life, a better state, even to be able to enjoy fellowship with deity. It is reasonable to expect God to communicate with his noblest creatures. It is also the capacity of mankind to mentally and morally and spiritually display qualities of being able to receive revelation and receive instruction, whereby he can be acceptable to the God who created him. The Bible claims to be that revelation. It is God's message to man. It's his communication to his noblest creatures. This book, the Bible, it is not of human origin, but it comes from deity, as our opening text insists. It reveals not only man's origin, man's mission, man's purpose in life, where he came from, why he's here, what he's to do while he's here, and where he is going. It accounts for man's weakness and for man's sinfulness. It explains his longings for a better state and his capacity for appreciation of a higher life. It reveals the nature of man, and it gives the explanation for the very dignity of the human above all else of God's creation. Such information cannot come from the minds of men, but only from the mind of the Supreme Being, Jehovah God, the one of whom the Bible speaks. Unlike books of human origin, the Scriptures are marked with unprejudiced impartiality. Deeds and words of people, even their thoughts, are laid bare without discrimination, without abuse, or without eulogy. Even the thoughts of people are exposed as only deity could know. And even though men of different eras, with varying degrees of learning, varying conditions of life, varying circumstances, were used to pen the Scriptures, they were led as they wrote by the one Spirit, and the message they produced is one continuous stream of perfect harmony throughout the 66 books that constitute the one book. Over 40 writers were involved, covering around 1,600 years from the first writing until the last, in languages of Hebrew and Greek and portions in Aramaic. And yet it is void of contradiction. It is void of inconsistency and error when rightly divided. It is beyond human capacity to match such an accomplishment. And this, friend, is irrefutable evidence of the divine origin of the Bible. A noticeable trait of Scripture is how it speaks positively and with authority. It is not a book of maybe-sos, mere probabilities and guesses. It speaks as certainly of the future as of the past. It is the characteristic that many who prefer to do their own thing find the most offensive about the Scriptures. Such people do not approve or accept anything certain and sure. The Bible presents divine truth, not human reasoning and philosophy. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," John 17:17, and such is the nature of the Scriptures. The writers were men guided by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1:20-21. And yet, it is evident that there were times when even they did not fully comprehend the significance of what they wrote. Now, this is not to say that they did not realize they were writing God's word, but they did not understand all that deity had them to write. Such lack of information and understanding, however, of what was written would not be the nature of the book totally coming from the minds of the writers. Human knowledge and wisdom could not have produced much of the information in the Bible, because so much is found therein that the writers could not possibly know of their own knowledge and their own research and investigation. They could write what they did only because one who did know used them to write as he saw fit to reveal. The moral code, the doctrine for human conduct, it is pure, it is wholesome, uplifting, simple, and yet understandable, and always for the benefit of those who would follow God's way. No immoral man or group of men would have produced such a book, because it would have been so self-condemning of their immoralities. Tangible evidence that the Bible is God's word is before us. Jesus once taught, "By their fruits ye shall know them." What is the fruit of the knowledge and faithful practice of the teaching of the Scriptures? The Bible has met the test through the ages. Wherever people have learned and applied the Bible, mankind has been better, mentally, morally, socially, intellectually, physically, spiritually, in every way. It is unfortunate that the Bible has been blamed for many evils, but this is to falsely accuse the Bible. Evils have not come because of the Bible, but because some who said they followed the Bible, but did evil rather than following the Bible. Those nations that have upheld standards presented in Scripture have prospered. And the opposite is also true. Would you please compare the state of civilization, the level of respect for human dignity and life, the state of womanhood, the care for the elderly and the infants, with those areas of the world where the Scriptures are either unknown or disrespected? Illiteracy, ignorance, disease, and the other plagues of mankind have been attacked and put to flight where people have had the good sense to have respect for the Bible. Enlightenment, freedom, the production and blessings are abundant. They are found where the Bible is the book in the hearts and minds of people. This is not only true throughout the world, but can be seen as true even within a given society and a nation. Yes, we can know by its fruits, what follows in its wake, that the Bible is not just an ordinary book produced by ordinary or even extraordinary people alone. It is a divine book, produced by deity through the use of chosen and inspired men. History, as well as present conditions, confirm the notion that the hope of the world is the message of the Bible in the person of Jesus Christ and His doctrine. As surely as any peoples depart from the code and moral teachings of God, just as surely shall that nation ultimately bring upon itself destruction and poverty, strife and ruin. Can we be sure that we have God's word? The evidences of its integrity, its completeness, its genuineness, and its reliability are manifold. We need not go back beyond the last inspired writers to know what constitute the complete Word of God. And these alleged latter-day revelations are of men. They are not of God. What inspired men consider to be inspired is inspired. What Christ and His apostles and the writers of Scripture accepted as Scripture is what we ought to accept as Scripture. From ancient Jewish writings as well as the Bible, it can be noted what they considered to be the inspired Word of God. And without taking time necessary to present the long and abundant evidence from ancient manuscripts and translations and commentaries and historians, both friends and foes of New Testament Christianity, as well as various catalogs denoting the inspired books, plus the assurances in Scripture that God's Word would not be destroyed, 1 Peter 1, verse 25, we know that the 27 books of the New Testament, as we now have them, were given by inspiration of God. The Jews to whom the oracles of God were committed, Romans 3 and verse 1, listed the books of the Old Testament, and they correspond to the 39 books we have in the Old Testament. Jesus also spoke of the books that now compose the Old Testament when he mentioned the Law of Moses, the Prophets, and the Psalms, the very divisions that the Jews recognized to include inspired books. These are the same books we have today. These are enlightening studies of this subject of great length and detail that are available, and they're worth the time and the effort necessary to study them and to be assured that such conclusions as stated here are accurate. We cannot set aside God's assurance that his message to man will not be vanished from the earth. The providence of God in preserving his word is as certain as the miraculous nature of its production. From the beginning, it has been taught that man cannot find the true good by his own wisdom and ingenuity. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 tells us, "It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Man's efforts fail to attain righteousness without the way of righteousness that God has provided. Man, without God's word, like water, seeks the lowest level. Has not this been proven to humanity through the ages? Mankind needs a guide, and God has provided that guide. There is not one good thing that man can discover that has not already been revealed to man by the word of God. There is no way that anyone can possibly, reasonably, logically, consistently, and sensibly explain the existence of the Bible except by the explanation of the Bible itself when it reads, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." God, using the vocabularies of those whom he chose, had them to write his message and his will, overseeing and superintending every word in revealing his word and his mind to man. And because of this, we can turn with confidence to the Scriptures and read. And when we apply what God has taught, we shall be blessed. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.